At AngiesList.com/Amber, you can find thousands of unbiased ratings on services for your home improvements, car repairs, and even doctors. When you use promo code AMBER, you will save 25% off your subscription. It used to be difficult to find service providers you can trust, but not anymore thanks to AngiesList.com/Amber. So visit AngiesList.com/Amber today and save time and money.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like, out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
AMBERMAY, that's fly. AMBERMAY, that's fly.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like, out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like, out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm Amber May, and I'm happy to introduce my guest today. His name is Pastor Jamal Bashar. He's the pastor of the First Arabic Baptist Church here in the Valley, and he grew up in the Middle East, so I asked to see what his perspective was on what's going on in Egypt and in the Middle East right now. So welcome, Pastor Jamal, to the program.
Thank you, Amber.
So what do you know is going on right now, and can you give us some insight onto what they're feeling, things like that?
What I see is really the manifestation of sin throughout the Middle East, and that's the biggest thing, is the greed. We see that in Yemen. We see that in many different areas of the Middle East, where now the presidents, kings, and government officials are really worried about their position. And the reason why they have to be worried about their position is because they have been abusive to power and abused their people. Instead of taking care of them, provide for their needs, they have hoarded the resources of the country for themselves, and somehow they were elected for years to come instead of having other people to take their position. So people are very disgruntled and unhappy. And finally, the Arabic people are rising up to the call of freedom. And I hope that call to freedom is going to be truly a breakthrough point in the Middle Eastern world, and that will bring more closeness to the Western world, where freedom is very much something that is treasured. And I hope the people there will not succumb to religious influences as Islam and go back into from one tyranny to another tyranny that is worse than the first one. And that is my fear over there right now.
You know, that's my fear too, because I'm hearing rumors about the Brotherhood of Islam trying to take power and control at this time. And, you know, I don't know how many Americans or anyone around the world, I'm not really sure how they know or if they know about the persecuted Christians in Egypt and what they've gone through. And I had Father Zachariah on the program a couple weeks ago to briefly talk about some of the terrorist activities that have been committed against Christians, as well as insight onto what Muslims believe. And what's your take on the Brotherhood of Islam? You think they're going to be the next one in power? What would be your prediction?
Well, if you look at the people that were revolting, lots of them were the young people. And, of course, the Brotherhood, Islamic Brotherhood, they tried to be in the forefront of that revolution, or join it by being in the forefront so they can take some seats and exhibit themselves as freedom fighters when they are truly are terrorists in their views, and they have not respected the values of other people throughout the Middle East, where really their main target was not injustices but Christians. And they targeted the Christians, and those who convert to Christianity have been the biggest target for Muslims Brotherhood, and they are a terror even to the neighborhoods of Egypt. So I doubted that they will take on a big power. Now they have probably 21 seats in the parliament over there in Egypt, but I think they may gain some, but I don't think they will take the biggest seats and to become a main power over there. And I hope that the people of Egypt will realize that this group of people were nothing but riders of this wave of revolution in order to gain some momentum and get elected. But I hope this young generation will understand that separation of religion and state is a must in the Middle East, that mosques cannot control the religious life and political life, even though Islam is religion and politics at the same time, but it has to be separated.
Yeah, that makes it difficult because I agree with you 100%, but because they have created a religion that's not just a religion, but a political arena, it will be very difficult, I think, in their minds to separate the two, which I really firmly believe needs to happen as well.
Well, if the 50% of the Muslim world right now are young people, and those young people have seen the internet, they have seen the Western world throughout the internet and all of that, and they see the freedom that people have, I doubt it seriously that these people will go back into such slavery, back again into taking the country back into another 1,000 to 1,500 years backward through the Brotherhood of Islam. Again, I just have to say, well, my hopes are great on this issue, that injustice will be dealt with at the long run through a democratic election system, and that the world of the Middle East and the those who are in government will understand from now on that enough is enough of abuse of power. And when you have a republic like Egypt, you cannot groom your son to take your position as if it is
a kingdom.
A kingdom,
right,
where a king take over his dad's position. So, or monarchy, what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And so that is a learning curve at this time. I think it's going to take longer time for the Middle East to really become democratic. But I'm hoping that Christ will move in a really powerful way, because his children have suffered tremendously there. And he will raise up his church to uphold the truth and justice again.
I hope so, too, because you mentioned about freedom. And we both know that the only way we get freedom is from God. And it even states in our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence and all the Federalist Papers and all kinds of things our forefathers believed in. And they understood that true freedom comes from the Lord God. And he's the only one that can provide true freedom, not any other person or religion, but only God the Father. So
in any other freedom besides coming from God would be slavery.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what's really required right now is that a big powerful move by the hand of God and the Christians to stand up right now and take advantage of this opportunity to not be cowards, not be afraid, but be steadfast in their faith and know who they believe. And I always go back to this. Whenever I think of cowards, I go back to the Old Testament and I think about David, and he was a young boy, and they were going against the Philistines, and everyone was so afraid of Goliath. This young man just was so close to God and had strong faith, and he's like, why am I going to be afraid of this uncircumcised Philistine? And otherwise, why am I going to be afraid of someone who's against God when God's on our side? Someone who doesn't even have a relationship with God, and we know God's with us, so why am I fearing him? I would hope that the Christians in Egypt would take that stand and think about, why am I going to fear the uncircumcised Philistine? Because he who's in me is greater than he who's in the Lord. So take this opportunity to bring about a full movement of Christianity, to bring true freedom so that people who live in Israel can understand what the true Israel and Egypt, the true freedom is all about.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's always the changes has occurred in the big power empires, like the Babylonian, like the Assyrian, like the Persian, and Medo-Persian. Of course, it came through just young men, and maybe one or two, and the changes has occurred. and life has changed. Kings came to know the Lord, like Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, he came to confess the Lord of Israel. Artaxerxes came to, who was appointed by God for Persia, also decreed that a temple would be built for the God of heaven and the true God of heaven in Jerusalem. So that's, these influences are through his people, and I hope to God that the Christians will take a stand and they will realize that the God of our fathers is the true God. His name is Jehovah God. His son's name is Jesus Christ, and his comforter is called the Holy Spirit. God, the three in one, and that is a powerful, powerful God that we have, and we need to move forward with our faith and to show forth that true freedom comes when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He brings justice to the world. He brings value to our morality and system. That's why we call it Christian values. And that is, there is no other place where you can find values as a Christian values, where it says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, turn the other cheek, love people as you would want them to love you. These are the golden rule. This is the golden rule. And we have to really be able to stand firm on our faith, because there is no other faith like ours. And number two, there is no other God than our God. And there is no more powerful God than our God. And so if David could do it, if Daniel could do it, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could do it, we can too, because he, the one that is in us, is greater than he that is in the world.
And you made a great point. God, over and over again, used a few people to create such an awe about showing his majesty. Remember the story, was it Elisha, when the people were afraid? And they're like, there's so many more of them than there are of us. And the prophet asked God to reveal, open their eyes. And sure enough, they saw hundreds, if not thousands, of angels surrounding the prophet. I mean,
the camp of Israel. That's right. And he said, greater is he, greater, the ones that are with us are great, much more than those who are against us. And we have to believe, we have to see the unseen. The problem is the church have lost its vision to heaven, and they look at the circumstances around them. And when we look at circumstances around us, that's when we succumb to the fear, we succumb to the inabilities of our human frailties, we succumb to our lack of faith. But when we look at the face of Christ and we look at the magnificent host that is surrounding us, the cloud of witnesses that's around us, that gives us the gumption, that gives us the power to drive us forward to believe and to change the world that is around me. And as long as I am living in that kind of fear, And Muslims have done great job to produce that fear, especially the Muslim Brotherhood. That is what crippled the whole country. That's what crippled the people of Egypt. And the Egyptian people need to understand and realize that your solution is not through Islam. The solution to the world is Jesus Christ. He is the desire of all the nations. But the problem is they do not understand that he is the desire of all the nations. They think it is somebody else. Their heart is yearning for that influence, but they do not know who it is. But let me give you the good news, that Jesus Christ is the desire of all the nations. He is there to be trusted. He is there to protect. He is there to provide. He is there to give freedom, peace, forgiveness, love, and all of that. All things comes from him. And without him,
nothing.
We have nothing, absolutely nothing.
You know, you mentioned something about fear. And as you're talking about fear, you said Islam is driven by fear. But our faith and the word of God says, for I did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And anytime anyone in the Bible was ever visited by a celestial being, whether it be, you know, Jesus incarnate at the time in the Old Testament, appearing as maybe Melchizedek or as the angel Bible says, of the angel Lord. Of the Lord, or even as angels themselves, they always said, do not fear, fear not, fear not, do not fear. And so our God doesn't want us to fear. And when we become afraid, we need to be thinking, okay, why are we afraid? It's something that is not of God that is causing us to be afraid. And that's when we can stand on the word of God, because, and then quote the scripture, for God did not give me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And God says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so if our God is teaching us, as a loving, kind, wonderful God is telling us not to be afraid, then any other religion that's using fear, number one, is a false religion, a religion that goes against all goodness, because nothing good comes out of fear. Nothing good comes out of fear. So fear, being fearful, is being afraid that someone's going to pour wrath upon you or imprison you or beat you, where God doesn't want that kind of relationship with us. So why would we want to be in a religion that makes us fearful?
Well, that is the best motivational power that Islam always had, through the sword, through making you fear them, because they will punish you. A majority of people, and normal people, let me say, that they don't like to suffer. And that's normal for a human being, not to want to suffer, not to want to experience a subjection to being killed by the sword or a knife or whatever it is, and the threat to their family, to their daughters, to their wives. None of us like that, of course. And that is really against our nature. And so that's why people kind of get scared of them. But with those kind of people who bring that kind of terror and fear, the only solution for that is to stand against that fear, even if it costs life. Christianity never spread in an easy way. It always was under persecution. It always was under martyrdom. It always was under people who induced fear. But Muslims is different than any other, this Islamic religion different than any other religion. The prophet is different than any other prophet. He is he understood. I would say about him, he's one of the heck of a great psychologist that understood how to use fear so much to bring people into subjection and to even force them to love him, like you would love Saddam Hussein. You know, here's a vicious man, and yet you would bow to him and love him and show that you are respecting him and just adoring him. Because why? Because you don't want to suffer under his wrath and be boiled in acid. This prophet of Islam is notoriously more wicked than Saddam Hussein. And I would think Saddam Hussein looks like a saint compared to him. And but this prophet of Islam understood the power of fear and really used it to his advantage, and made people love him. Just say love him. Otherwise, they know that they will be vanished out of the face of the earth in the most vicious killing that they could have experienced.
That's very true. But if we go back to what we're facing now in Egypt, and since President Mubarak's been the president, what have the everyday people, what have they been going through since he's been president of Egypt?
Well, apparently they have gone through poverty. Things are, you know, people are poor. People don't have big jobs. You have polarity of society, and we're heading that direction in America, where you have the rich, and the poor, and that is something that really hitting us also hard. The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. The middle class is vanishing. That's what happened in Egypt. And when you don't have enough to cover your expenses, when you don't have enough to cover your necessities, that's a sick society. It is. I'm not asking for social government. That is not the solution. But it is creating jobs. People share their wealth in such a good manner. where the rich who are blessed with riches always keep the money into cycling. If God stops the rain today on the righteous and the wicked, what would happen? The world dies. Mm-hmm. And so when the rich people withhold their money and they hoard it and save it and they don't use it, recycle it into the system to where they create more job, more abilities for people to use it, they're still rich. They're still theirs. Every business that they open is theirs. And people working and prospering just as they are prospering themselves. It gives opportunities. That is not socialization. This is really putting the resources that God entrusted us into a recycling. Otherwise, if that recycling stops, then the whole society dies. So what good if the whole society dies and you have very, very rich and very, very poor? What good is that society? There is no fun in that society. There is injustices and miserable society, to tell you the truth. And so I don't really, I'm not promoting socialization because that breeds laziness into people. But I'm saying, okay, for the rich people, go ahead, recycle your money. Instead of going to put it on a bird's farm, put it on people. Don't be ignorant of how money should be working, because you are smart, you collected it, you knew how to bring it, you didn't do it in a bad manner. Most of the rich people, they did it by the sweat of their brow, and they worked hard. So give a chance to people to be able to use that money and utilize it for their prosperity, as you are getting also prosperous. That's called wisdom. That's not greed. Greed is idolatry, and we are supposed to get away from greed, the love of money, and all of that, because it is idolatry. And for such people, as the book of Ephesians says in chapter 1, such people will never enter the kingdom, or chapter 2 actually, enter the kingdom of heaven. So put your money into working for you and working hard for you by hiring other people and using wise decisions.
You know, you said it perfectly. Rich people who have wealth and put it into recycling and giving people jobs are wise. You just said it perfect, because there is a place. We have to have wealthy people. If we don't have wealthy people, then the world cannot go around, because they're the ones who invest into people and invest into cities and invest into their society. Absolutely.
He knows they are smart. They know how to manage it. But, you know, where sin is, it perverts God's wisdom and provisions and all of it. It's just sin pervert anything. Okay, mm-hmm. That's how it is. And so we need also the rich to come to Christ and to be able to utilize their resources. Every rich Christians who gave their money to the work of the poor people, they prospered even more. And there are some people that gives 90% of their money, they recycle it. They only live on that 10% because they are so wealthy. And there is no reason to hoard all of that. There is no reason to have 16 room house because I want it when you are just two people in the house. There is no reason for that. So we need to live within our means. We need to bless other people with what God has entrusted us with, and make people prosperous and love us. If President Mubarak have done this, if the society in Egypt have done this, they would not have these riots. Prosperity would have came, and people would have been happier, and they would have praised him. And really, that's what people want. They don't want to fight and all of that. But abuse is just prevalent in the Middle East, and greed is prevalent, and power is prevalent. And that is sin, total sin.
You know, we had an experience of greed here in America, and we're all suffering now because of it, because people got hungry for money and houses.
Houses dropped down. Why? Because of greed.
People lost their jobs. Why? Because of greed. Just a number of things. Everyone maxed out their credit and took credit and loans because they just wanted more and more and more and more and wanted to have a... live with above their means. And the Bible says a borrower is servant to the lender. And so we become in that mindset now that all of us are indebted to people, of creditors, and that's not the way of God, that we need to live within our means and be debt-free and bless people and give. That's the biggest thing. That if I could sum up the Bible, actually, Jesus said it perfect. What's the greatest commandment? Love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two best things you could do. And when you help people out, you're loving the neighbor as yourself. And so as we get money to give, if it's our time, if it's our money, whatever it is that we're commanded to give with whatever that we're entrusted with. But one thing that struck me about Egypt is, as an 8-year-old girl traveling with my dad, my sister, my grandparents to Egypt, I grew up in America. I grew up having clean water. And in my world, everyone had clean water until I went to Egypt. And we were driving in a bus and we're heading, I don't remember where we're heading, but I knew we were in a bus and we're going to go visit one of the sites. And I look out the window and I see these kids bathing and playing in dirty, filthy water. And I said, "Dad, look, where are the mothers? How come the mothers aren't telling these kids to get out of the dirty, filthy water?" And what did my dad say? "They don't have clean water." I was shocked. I couldn't believe that these little kids didn't have clean water. I remember as a little kid, we would be going to different sites like the pyramids or different museums, and these kids would come and sell us soda, and it was, the container had dirty water in the box they were holding was full of dirty water to try and keep the soda cool, and it just didn't look very appetizing after you saw it floating around in dirty water. The soda was sealed, but it just didn't look appetizing. But my dad bought one anyways. And I said, "Dad, why are you going to buy it?" He's like, "I'm going to buy it to help these people. They're poor." And you see kids my age smoking cigarettes. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I had good parents that told me not to smoke. You know, my parents didn't smoke. You learn in America how bad it is for you to smoke. And over there, kids my age at 8 years old at the time were smoking cigarettes. It was just unbelievable. The education was low. The poverty level was unbelievably low. And it was heartbreaking to see these people live that way. And I went away back to the United States with a different perspective, that not everyone has the blessings that I have here in the United States. And it made me thankful that I was born here and not in Egypt, having to bathe in dirty water.
That's true. We do not know how much we are blessed in this country, and we take it for granted. We even asking the God of this country to get out of our country and inviting the false gods to come in. And that is a shame that we have gotten so low in our faith and in our beliefs about our Lord Jesus Christ, who founded this country and who wanted to bless it with so much blessings that we in turn take basically an advantage of his blessing to turn it and pervert it into idolatry, into adultery, into greed, into all of that sinful desires that we have. God wants us to be watchful of the need of the world, and we not supposed to hoard it all. We're supposed to share the blessings of God so they know the love of God and the riches of God through his son Jesus Christ is abounding through his children also.
Before I let you go, I want you to talk about your experience growing up in the Middle East, because you're born in Israel. And what changes have you seen since moved to the United States? But then you go back and you visit, and I know you've been to Jordan, you've been to Egypt. Talk about your experience of from when you were a child till now.
Well, like today we were talking about, the tools, remote control. Today we're talking, like with my son-in-law, about remote control. I said, "What remote control?" When we were little kids, we didn't have any such things. We had two sticks to play with, and we were very happy people. We watched a lot of cowboy movies, so we played cowboys and Indians and all of that. But, today, and we were so happy kids. We had no problem getting out of the home, playing. Today, our kids are kind of obese. They sit by the TV all day long. They sit by the Xboxes all day long, and they are so much unhappy. And families are doing so many activities with their kids that we as a children, we never seen even our father really walk with us. But yet we knew he loved us and he took care of our needs, basic needs. But there was no time for him to come and sit down and play and take us to football, take us to boxing, to karate, to movies and all of that. Life was very tough back then. But you know what? People were healthier. People were happier. People were more generous. People were more friendly. Today, society, after 30 years of being away from Israel, went back several times. Today's people are just, again, dead, because kids are unhappy, they're revolting, there is prosperity, they have all the tools in the world, they want to imitate the West, and at the same time, they're living that greedy life. They don't get out as much as they used to, play with the neighbors, play in the streets, have fun in a simple way. No, what we do today is we spend it in front of the TV or on the computer, on the Xbox, and we are very unhappy society. And that's the same thing is going on in the Middle East right now. But you know where poverty is? They look at these people with all the good things that they have. They get jealous. They think their happiness is somewhere else when their happiness needs to be within, in the inside. And if you invite Jesus Christ today, I can guarantee you that you will be a very happy person. I didn't say that you are going to be rich. I didn't say you're going to be healthy. I didn't say that you're going to be prosperous. But you are going to be a joyous person, happy person inside, satisfied because God is blessing you. And that's why the Bible says we need to always be thankful for what we have.
On top of that, we would be able to inherit the promises of God by being His child of God.
That's right. We already have it. We already have a lot of blessing from the Father, from the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have been chosen. We have been appointed. We have been adopted. We have been redeemed. We have been purchased, and we have been sealed. What more do we need more than that? We are the representative of God in Christ Jesus. Only through the medium of Christ that we can have all these privileges. So why don't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your family, and you will be saved. Let us know about if God touched you through this program. Let Amber know. And I want to hear from you through her. Please write us.
And always check out my website. I have all kinds of stuff on there. And my website's AmberMayShow.com. That's AmberMay, M-A-Y, show.com. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, look out for number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you. The Amber May Show is a paid affiliate of AngiesList.com.